Well, praise the Lord. Good looking crowd tonight, for the most part. There was a group of fellows standing around bragging about how long it had been since he and his wife had an argument. And someone said, well, you know, it's been 2 weeks. And some said it's been a month and so on and so forth. And this guy said, we haven't had an argument for 25 years. And they said, there's no way you could do that. He said, yeah, yeah. He said, how in the world did you do it? He said, well, he said, on our 25th wedding anniversary, I took my wife to Hawaii. And on our 50th, I went and got her. Is that what you're going to do, Caleb? That's good. Open your Bibles tonight to the little book of Nahum. Nahum in the Old Testament. It's right after Micah. And it's just before Habakkuk. That'll give you a little bit of an idea where it is. Last night I began to pray about what to preach tonight to close out our meeting. Woke up this morning and woke up during the night, actually. I think I was awake around 1 or 2 o'clock and began to pray about what God would want tonight. If there's anything I want to do what God wants. Amen. Not what I want. Everybody found the book of Nahum right now? Okay. While you're there, I want you to also find the book of Jonah. That's back towards the Old Testament, a couple, three pages. I want you to look at that. And then I want you to find the book of Acts, chapter 27. Some of you are probably saying, how in the world are you going to put all this together? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Amen. Figure I get your thumb and fingers in those places, then we'll be moving right along here in just a moment. Everybody found it? All right. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight to be back in your house. Thank you for the good number that has come out tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us open hearts, open eyes, and clear minds for the Word of God tonight. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, help me to preach this message tonight that it might be pleasing and honoring to thee and might be a blessing to those that are here to hear it. We'll praise you for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name and just for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. I want to invite your attention this evening to verse number 3. And I want you to notice these words. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And I trust by the time we finish this message tonight that we can have those words inscribed in our hearts. You know, we talk much about our mountaintop experiences, but the simple fact is we spend most of our life in a valley. In a valley between mountain peaks. We rejoice many times, brother, about our victories on Sunday. And oh, we love those days when the spiritual sunshine is out and when the heavenly breezes are blowing sweet and cool and the flowers sparkle with the heavenly dew. And even those days, even the birds sing songs with angelic origin. And it seems on such days as that the peace of God shines all around us. And it seems on such days as that all nature is in agreement. Having said that, the truth is we spend few days like that in our lifetime. Even though we may be seated as children of God tonight, we may be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but could I remind us, dear friends, tonight, we're not in heaven yet. The great majority of our life is lived in the midst of a storm of some sort or another. Someone asked me one time, said, "Preacher, can Satan cause a storm?" I believe he can. I believe he, being the prince and the power of the air, can stir up a storm if he so desires. I believe he can create a storm and cause havoc. But let me hasten to say this, God, who is over all, allows that, and God will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. There are four different accounts tonight that I want to mention to you this evening about storms in the Bible. And I believe this, I believe if we ever do anything great for God, we're going to go through some storms. And I don't believe we'll ever do anything great for God until we realize that God hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. First of all, there is Jonah, the man that stirred the storm. Jonah stirred the storm because of his disobedience to God. You know, and I often think so many times, Brother Matthew, how many storms that we go through are a direct result because we disobeyed God in our disobedience to God. Oh, like Jonah, God wants to do something with us. But we don't want God to do with us what God wants to do with us, and it causes a storm. Jonah said, "God, I don't want to go to Nineveh." He said, "Those people over there are just a sorry bunch of heathens, and they are just a bunch of sorry Jew haters. I don't want revival there." He wanted God to kill them. So in that account, we see that Jonah went down and he took a ship going to Tarsus, going in the very opposite direction that God wanted him to go. I sometimes wonder if that's not our problem. I sometimes wonder if we're not going in the opposite direction that God wants us to go. And Jonah stirred that storm, and in that storm, we see Jonah was asleep in the ship, and the ship was tossing and turning, and it was about to sink. They threw overboard all the cargo, and finally they came down and woke up Jonah. And I want you to look, please, in Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 12. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 12. Jonah 1:12. Notice what he says. "And he said," talking to Jonah, "unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Folks, how many times do we know that what we're going through is our own fault? You know, America today is going through a lot of stuff. We're seeing stuff today that I never dreamed that we'd ever see as I grew up in this country. But you know what? America deserves a lot of it. We murder 1 million babies a year. We have churches that have quit preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have all kinds of things going on in our country that shouldn't be going on. We have things going on in our churches that shouldn't be going on. Church families tonight are in a mess, and they need the Word of God in their homes and in their lives. So God sent a storm, and I believe God was saying in that storm, the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Now, God may not give us a task like he gave Jonah. But my friend, when we do not do the will of God in our lives, we are going to face some storms. We're admonished to serve God. In the Bible admonishes us to serve God and to serve the Lord in our giving and in our service and in our attendance to the house of God. And many times we make one excuse or another as to why we can't do what God wants us to do. And I believe when we do that, God will send a storm. And then we wonder why. But the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Number two, in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John chapter 6, there's a story about Jesus and a storm. The story is that the disciples were going to cross over the Sea of Galilee toward Capernaum, which was on the other side from where they were. And the Bible says a few hundred feet away from the shore, a great storm and a great wind began to blow, and the ship began to take on water and was about to sink, and the disciples were afraid. And along came Jesus walking on the water, and Jesus said, "Fear not. Fear not." And he came into the ship, and the storm ceased, and the Bible says immediately they were on the other side. In Luke chapter 8, again, Jesus is in the ship and they were going across to the other side to the land of the Gadarenes. And Jesus fell asleep on the boat, and he and his disciples were crossing over the Sea of Galilee and to the other side, and a great storm came up and the disciples began to be afraid, and they wake up Jesus, and he stands in the midst of that ship and speaks, and the storm ceases. Someone said this, "It seems as though the tempest licked his hand and laid down at his feet." And I mention those because in those storms, I believe God allowed those for three definite reasons. Number one, I believe God allowed them to prove his authority over all circumstances. Even the wind and the water obeyed him. Number two, I believe God allowed them to teach us and to teach his disciples to put our complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability to meet every need and every trial and every heartache and every storm that we come across in our life. You know, there are so many today who don't have faith that God can handle all of our trials and all of our circumstances. Oh, we believe. There's many that believe that God can save people, but the other things, they have a doubt. Thirdly, I believe God allowed the storm to teach us that Jesus Christ can calm every fear. And somehow, in the midst of those two storms, I believe the disciples got the message that the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Could I remind you tonight that God loves you? Could I help you to understand that Jesus died on the cross for you? He wants to show us and he wants to teach us that he can and he will calm every storm in our life if we'll put our complete trust and faith in his power, because he's the only one can do that. beginning in 2006, 2005 actually, about October of 2005, I began to have cancer. I had prostate cancer. They put 79 radioactive seeds in my prostate to kill the cancer. 4 or 5 months later, I found out I had colon cancer. They took out 8 or 9 inches of my colon. 2 years later to the date, I had colorectal cancer. I had to go through chemo. I was taking 3,000 milligrams of chemo every day, and twice a month I would go for intravenous chemo. And I had to go through 6 weeks, 5 days a week of radiation. Let me tell you something, there was a storm in my heart. Even though I never did believe that God was going to allow me to die, but I found out that God had his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Thirdly, we read again in the book of Acts chapter 27. If you're there, I want you to look at it with me in just a moment. Acts chapter 27. Paul now is on this ship. He's on his way to Rome as a prisoner. The Bible said they had spent some time in a place called the Fair Haven. Also says that it was not commodious to winter in. And the Bible says that the captain and the owners of the ship wanted to go to another place. They wanted to winter in Phoenicia. And even though Paul had been in touch with God and God had given him a divine weather report, the captain refused to listen to what God was talking about. Paul said, this voyage will be with much hurt. It's going to damage the ship, but also our lives are going to be in jeopardy. Let me tell you something, friend. He didn't get that accidentally. He didn't get that by attending a deeper life seminar. He didn't get that from a Dale Carnegie course. He got it from God. I'm glad today. No matter whether the weather, the sun is shining or there's storms raging, that we can keep in touch with God, and he knows that the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Listen, God met with Paul that night on the ship. And in the midst of the storm, and I want you to look at the scripture, we're going to read a couple of verses in just a moment out of that passage. And I want you to understand and see how the Word of God speaks just what we're talking about tonight. I want you to get the setting now. The ship is rocking and reeling, and they've thrown overboard everything, and the ship is about to break to pieces. The people on the ship are afraid for their lives. And notice now what Paul says in verse 23 and 24, saying, well, let's start back at verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I'll tell you what, I believe the angel of the Lord kind of slipped his arm around the Apostle Paul that night on the ship, and he said, fear not, Paul. The Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. I'm saying to you that God is saying to you and me tonight that when he gives us a task to do, and we have a great task to do, And when he gives us, when he shows us what we're supposed to do, I'm telling you, the old devil is going to stir up a storm, and he's going to try to discourage you, and he's going to try to defeat you. But God is saying to you tonight, regardless of what God wants you to do, the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Having told you about some storms, weather disturbances, I want you to understand the worst storms in the Bible are not weather disturbances. The worst storms that you and I face and the worst storms that we read about in the Bible are the storms that rage in the heart and in the soul of a man. They rage in the heart and the soul against God's people. Storms and trials, perhaps physical or financial or maybe unemployment. God loves us tonight. God loves you tonight. If you're not saved, God loves you. He wants you to be saved. There are trials in people's lives tonight and trials in our church. There are those today that have a storm raging in their soul concerning salvation. Oh, they hear the word of God, the small voice of God calling them and talking to them about getting saved. And they hear God saying, I'll give you rest and I'll give you joy and I'll give you peace. And I'll save your soul and I'll lift you out of the miry clay and I'll set you on the solid rock. I'll put a new song in your heart. And then they hear Satan saying, don't listen. There's nothing to salvation. And a storm begins to rage. There are individuals today who have a storm raging in their body concerning dope or various pills or alcohol. They know they're wrong. They know they need to do something about it, but the devil keeps fighting them. Thus, they have a storm raging in their lives and in their homes and in their families. There are those that have a storm raging in their heart and soul over children that have gone astray. Living in the world, practicing all types of sin, and many today have a storm raging in their life because of our economy and the direction that our blessed nation is going. I don't know about you, but I hate the woke stuff and all that other garbage that we're having to put up with. But I'm telling you tonight that God has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Before God can calm these storms, though, individuals must be willing to allow Him to work in their life. Perhaps there are those here tonight, you have a storm raging in your soul concerning your place of service for God. My advice to you is let go and let God. Let God have His way. Let him have his way in that whirlwind and in the storm. Pardon a personal experience, if we will, that I'll never forget. At the age of 42, there was a storm that began to rage in my heart and soul. God was dealing with me about surrendering to preach. I had a migraine headache for 2 weeks. And I told God that I had a family to support, as if he didn't already know that. And I told him, I have a good job. I have 20 years with a company, too many just to throw down the drain. I told him I was too old to go back to school. It was too late to start a new career. But beloved, in the midst of that storm that was raging in my camper, sitting at White Horse Lake in Flagstaff, Arizona, I felt the arm of God slip around me. And he said, fear not, Marvin. The Lord will have his way in the whirlwind. And in the storm, whatever your storm is tonight, God is there. to help you with it. And then I read over in Genesis the story of Joseph, down in the Potiphar's house. What a story. What a storm that had to be raging in the soul of Joseph. You recall the story, how his brothers hated him. They were jealous of him, and they sold him into bondage, and he ended up in Egypt, a slave in Potiphar's house. Oh yes, God was with him, and God blessed him. Potiphar's sorry wife got her eye on him and wanted to run his testimony and ruin his life. But Joseph, being a man of God and a child of God, avoided her advances. And though he left his coat in her hand, she lied about him and got him thrown into prison. Think about it. Here's a young man at that particular time that was honest as the day is long. He's God's man in a strange land, and now he finds himself in prison, lied about, and the whole nation is against him, and it seems as though there's no hope. Can't you imagine tonight that storm that was raging in his heart? But the Bible says that God was with Joseph and he showed him mercy. Oh, listen to me tonight. I can imagine down in that prison, the angel of the Lord kind of put his arm around Joseph when everybody else was lying about him, and the dungeon was dark and cold and miserable, and the burden was heavy and the sleep wouldn't come and the storm was raging in his heart. I think the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "Fear not, Joseph. God will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." By the way, he did. Then I think of Daniel in Babylon. You realize he was a young man that spent his entire life in captivity in a strange land. And yet God blessed him and elevated him in the land of the Chaldeans. And finally, in his old age, the latter part of his life, because of jealousy between the president and the princes of the kingdom of Darius, they plotted against Daniel. And they convinced Darius to sign a decree that no one could pray to any other god except their God. You know what Daniel's practice was, don't you? His practice was to open the windows toward Jerusalem three times a day and pray openly. Now, I want you to know, Daniel didn't stop that just because Darius said he couldn't do it. He continued to pray, and they put him in a den of lions. By the way, they didn't put him in the lion's den. They put him in a den of lions. There's a difference. Amen. Daniel said in that den of lions that night, when he thought he might be supper, he said, "The angel has shut the mouth of the lions." God gave him lockjaw. Amen. Angel of the Lord slipped his arm around Daniel and said, "Fear not, Daniel. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and the storm." Do you notice in all of these instances that I'm talking about tonight, they were serving God. And they didn't quit serving God because somebody said you can't do it. That's what we need to be doing. When the people of the community and when people in government says you can't do it, yes, we can do it. And we must. The angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, Daniel. The Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." You recall the story how Darius couldn't sleep that night. He knew he'd made a mistake, but he had to follow through with it. And so the next morning when he came down there, he saw Daniel walking around in the midst of the lions. Why? Because God had shut their mouth and satisfied their appetite. Why? Because the Lord had his way in the whirlwind, in the storm. In that same book, we read about a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember they were the three that would not bow to the golden image. Because of this, they were put into the fiery furnace. I like what they said. They said this, "My God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if not, we'll still not going to bow down." Folks, regardless of what comes out of Washington that says we can't do, but if not, we're still not going to bow. If not, we still can't quit. Oh, the storm was raging. I get tickled every time I read that because they dressed him up like they were sending him to the Antarctic. I mean, they put this on them. They put their coats on them. They did all this. And they heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been. And when the guards threw them in the fire, they were killed immediately because of the heat. They threw them in the furnace. The Bible says, though, when the king looked in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were no longer bound. Bible says they were walking around and there was a fourth man in there. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "He is as the Son of God." It was the Son of God. Amen. It was the angel of the Lord. It was the Son of God. And he put his arm around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, "Fear not. The Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." I think about Elijah when he was discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged? You know, you're gonna get discouraged once in a while, but you don't have to stay that way. Amen. Oh, when David was in Ziklag, they burnt the whole city and they took everybody out, including the kids and the wives, and they were all captured and everybody was ready to stone David. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Word of God. When you get discouraged, open up this book. Amen. And read about the strength of Jesus Christ. You remember the story of Elijah? All that happened on top of Mount Carmel. How he outrun Ahab's chariot. And now we find Elijah is under the juniper tree because he heard Ahab's wife said, "This time tomorrow, you'll be dead." This great prophet of God began to feel sorry for himself. He began to desire to die. But the angel of the Lord placed his arm around Elijah and said, "Fear not, Elijah. The Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." You know, folks, we face storms of opposition every day. As we walk with the Lord and as we serve the Lord, we face storms every day. But may I remind us that we are no less than any of these people that we read about in the Word of God. Amen. I think of young people today. I think of those kids that are downstairs right now getting taught the Word of God. Many times in lessons that they're having, they're teaching those kids that they have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our young people are facing many storms every day. They face temptations of the devil. They face drugs and they face alcohol and illicit sex and everything else that the devil can put in their path. Please remember, you don't have to give in to it. When God tempts us and when we are going through a storm, we don't have to give in to it. Why? Because the Lord will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. You know, if we'd just do what God's called us to do, if we'd just do what He's commanded us to do, if we'll just do what God wants us to do, somehow, in that storm, we'll feel the strong arm of Jesus Christ saying, "Fear not. The Lord will have His way in the whirlwind and in the storms." Families in our churches all across America have storms in their homes, storms in their families. Could I remind you tonight, just because you're saved, just because you're a Christian, we're not free from storms. We're going to have storms in our life, but however I said that, I believe with all my heart and my soul that God will meet those needs, whatever they are. And the Lord will have His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Every head bowed, please. We're not going to sing tonight. In the quietness of this hour, with every head bowed, every eye closed.